by on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them and make us slaves. We did not give in to them for the moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by eternal appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter's as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, who reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowships when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do.
All right. On Saturdays, for those of you who are not in the youth group, not in OCCYG, we've been doing an inductive study on Galatians. So we've been kind of, last night, at least in youth group, we were kind of trying to piece together the passage that Roger just read, kind of what is this talking about? What is our passage that we were looking at last night talking about? And again, last week, I preached on it last week. But if in case you guys weren't here last week or haven't come out on Saturday nights, I want to give you kind of just a backdrop of where our passage is coming from. In chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul is making an argument for the truth of the real gospel. The title of my sermon this morning is called "Feel Freedom: the True Gospel." And Paul is making an argument for the truth of the gospel that he has been sharing to the Galatians, okay, to the Church of Galatians, the one that they accepted. All right. In fact, here's the problem. Here's what's been going on. Here's what he's saying. Here's how he started out his letter to this church. Okay. Wait, let me, if I turn it on. There we go. This is what he started out by saying to the church, okay? We read this a little bit last night. He said, look, I can't believe your fickleness, how easily you've turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a different message, a variant gospel message. It is not a minor variation, you know. It is completely other, an alien message, no message, a lie about God. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. Okay? And so what is happening is that there are some people that Paul, these people have been going to this church of Galatia and telling them that Paul is giving you an incomplete version of the gospel message. Paul is giving you a shortened version of what the real gospel message is. And here's what they're telling them. There's this group called the Judaizers, and they've been going, they're Jewish, and they've been going to this church of Galatia. And they've been saying, look, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and you are saved by grace, this free gift to you. But they say that you also must follow portions of the Jewish law of being circumcised and of following the food laws. So they're saying, like, hey, yeah, the cross is great, Jesus is great, but in order to be a Christian, there's something else that we kind of you must be part of us. You must follow some of these laws. You must follow some of these Jewish laws that we have, these traditions that we have. You see, the Judaizers, for their whole lives, okay, for their whole lives, they've been following these traditions, they've been following these rules, they've been following these laws, and then Jesus came along. They heard about Jesus, and they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the cross is. This is great. This is the guy we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. What happened on the cross is, we believe that. But there's still part of us that's like, yeah, but you still need to follow some of these traditions that we have, some of this culture that we have, some of these laws that we have. And Paul was teaching the Galatians, you know what? No, we don't need these laws anymore. We don't need these traditions anymore. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ came, is to set us free from these laws. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was enough. It's about what we've been talking about, you guys. It's about grace. You know, it's about this free gift that's given to you, minus this. It's about grace. It's about faith. It's about the Spirit of God beginning a work in your life. And the Judaizers have been insisting, like, no, Paul's wrong. Paul is wrong. He's not giving you the full thing, the full gospel. It's more than grace. It's more than faith in the sacrifice that's happened on the cross. And so here's the backdrop. Paul is saying, no, you know what they're doing? You know what these guys are doing? They're putting an extra burden on you. They're giving you a gospel that's placing a burden on you that doesn't need to be there. Okay? That doesn't need to be there. And so here's what Paul's been trying to do. He's been trying to, in this letter that he's writing to them, he's trying to say, the gospel that I am sharing to you is the real thing. It's the real deal. And so far, what we've gone through so far in Galatians, so far, is that Paul's argument has been this. Look, the gospel message that I received, the one that I've been telling you, Galatians, is the one that I received directly from Jesus Christ. It is independent of man's teaching. Independent, he says, I didn't learn it from anyone. I didn't consult any man. So the gospel that is given to me is outside of people teaching me. He also said later on in chapter 1, the gospel message is independent of the major churches in Judea. He said, look, I didn't go to... what this means is, like, a lot of times these churches would be considered the authority, and the Galatians would say, well, maybe we should look to the authority. These are churches. And Paul's saying, no, that's not true. The gospel message that I'm giving you, which would be, you are saved by grace alone, is outside of even these churches. He said, look, I assure you, before God, what I'm writing you is no lie. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Whereas, look, this message doesn't need to be verified by these churches in Judea as well. All right, so this is what he's... And now in chapter 2, he's going to continue his persuasion of the Galatian churches, that his gospel is the gospel, the real thing, strengthening his argument even more. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, chapter 2 says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and I took Titus along also. You see, part of the argument that the Judaizers, this section of Jews, had to the Galatians was that, hey, we are coming. They went to the church of Galatia, like they went to you guys, and they said, look, we are coming from Jerusalem. We have this authority. All the big names, like Peter, John, James, all the leaders of the church are there, and we are also coming from Jerusalem. So we're giving you, because we come from Jerusalem, we're giving you the gospel. We're giving you what is the real gospel. And they're kind of saying, look, if you ask them, as they go to the Galatians, if you ask these guys, if you ask the big wigs back in Jerusalem, they'll tell you what we're telling you. They'll tell you that we're telling you the real gospel. And Paul's point was, look, actually, 14 years later, I've been preaching this gospel, and actually I've gone up and I've talked with these guys. I've went to Jerusalem, Galatians, and I've talked with these guys about what I am preaching. For 14 years I've been preaching this, and I took Titus with me, and he says in verse 2, I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. So Paul says, look, I went up to those guys not because I needed to check. I didn't go to the leaders, Paul, James, and John, to check to make sure the gospel I was preaching was the right gospel. No, I actually went there because I had this revelation. God actually told me to go up to Jerusalem to talk with the leaders of the church. All right? So it's not because I'm just making sure that the gospel I'm preaching is the correct one. I'm going there because God told me to. And then what I did when I got before the leaders, before the big wigs, in Jerusalem, what I did is I went and I said, look, guys, this is the gospel that I've been preaching. I said, I set before them the gospel that I've been preaching for the last 14 years to the Gentiles. All right? I laid it all out. And in fact, again, I brought this guy named Titus, and Titus is a non-Jew. I brought this guy with me, who I preached the gospel to, and now he is a follower. He is a believer, and yet he has not been circumcised. He's not following the food laws, and yet as Paul brought the gospel that he'd been sharing to these leaders, and as he brought Titus with him, and he showed them, like, look, here's a guy who's not following any of these laws, who's not following any of these, and he has the Spirit of God in him. And all the leaders can kind of see, yeah, we can see that this is the gospel. This is the gospel this is the gospel message. Just this alone is the gospel message that Paul is preaching. We see this guy who has been changed, who has the Holy Spirit in him, and he's a believer. And it says in verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. All right? And so Titus, after Paul and Titus went to them and Barnabas went to them, shared this is the gospel, Titus walked away, Paul walked away, and we discussed what this was, the gospel that I was sharing. We walked away. Titus walked away and said, look, I've come to the conclusion, Paul said, we've come to the conclusion that, and all the leaders of the church come to the conclusion that, yeah, actually, what the gospel is that you are saved by Christ alone, and none of this other stuff needs to be tacked on. Look, if you guys want to, you can be circumcised. You have the freedom to be circumcised. You have the freedom to follow the law, the food laws. I mean, look, if it's important to you, you can go ahead. You have the freedom to be circumcised. You have the freedom to eat the right food, the food that they've been prescribed before. You've got the freedom to do that. But you also have the freedom. You don't have to. You don't have to if you don't want to. Because obviously Titus, this Greek guy, has not been following any of the food laws or has not been circumcised, and yet the Spirit of God lives in him. And so Paul is basically saying that this law that you've been trying to impose on people doesn't need to be imposed on them anymore. Christ has set us free from that. And verse 4 explains this. He says, look, this matter arose. The whole reason why we went up to Jerusalem was because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we had in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. So what has happened is, like, yeah, there's these the Jews who are Judaizers came in to the church and was kind of like, it's kind of interesting. They were spying on the church saying, look, there's these believers that are worshiping God, who are following Jesus Christ, who have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet none of them are following the Mosaic laws. And Paul says, not only were they spying on them to see what their freedom, to see how we practice in freedom, they wanted to make us slaves. They wanted to put these on top of grace. Because it's like this. I think sometimes when people are like, faith is by grace, and it's like these things that you needed to be added on to, sometimes it becomes burdensome. This stuff becomes burdensome on people. And when people see other people practicing in freedom, they want to be like, no, you should have the same burden we have. You should have the same burden that we have. But Paul says, look, we didn't give in for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. So here's what it is, you guys. I don't know if you've considered how unique the gospel is. How unique and how different the gospel is compared to other religions, okay? I think in many ways, people can still relate to the Judaizers, okay? Because they think, even with you guys, there's still part of us that says, yeah, I believe in the cross. I believe that Christ died for us. And when he died on the cross, he took all of our sins. But there's still part of us in our lives that says, Is it really that simple? That it's just what happened on the cross? Is there still something else that maybe needs to be done, that needs to be carried out? Some people have different backgrounds. You know, like if you go around, maybe as you get more out into the world and get more exposure, you'll talk with people about their faiths and their backgrounds, where they came from. Maybe you'll talk with Jewish people who are Jews or Catholics or Mormons or Islam, Muslims. And you'll kind of find that, like, you know, if you've come from a Jewish background, that and there's some Jews who believe on the cross and they have this Jewish background. But with the Jews, like, maybe they'll feel still that they need to kind of, like, you know, like, if you've got this background of a Jewish faith, that maybe you still need to go to the temple, or that you need to participate in the festivals that they have. It's not quite like just the cross. You might have this background, or maybe more common in this area is a Catholic background. In this area, you probably have Catholic friends and so forth. And I don't know. I've interacted when I was in college with some Catholic friends, you know, and they talk about Christ, but they also sometimes are like, you know, it's been a while since I've been to Mass, or I haven't done the Rosary lately, or done penance lately. You know, it's kind of like there's something else outside of the cross that needs to be done in order for me to be accepted by God. Or we talked a little bit earlier about the Mormon faith. And, you know, if you have a Mormon background, that you need to kind of attend temple ceremonies, or that they talk about in the Mormon faith of attaining godhood. So unless you accept Joseph Smith as a prophet, then you'll never attain godhood. Or in Islam, in the Muslim faith, that you've never made a pilgrimage. Like they have five pillars, they call them. And you know, you've got to make a pilgrimage to the Mecca. You've got to pray five times a day towards the Mecca. You know, there's certain things that you have to do in order to be accepted, kind of in order to strive towards being accepted by Allah. And so, like, there's part of us, you guys. There's part of us that's like still feels like in our faith that something needs to be added to the cross. I don't know if you guys experience this sometimes, and even for as Asians, you know, as Asians, a lot of you guys, we also come, like the Judaizers, we come from a background as well. And I think sometimes what happens with us is that we've got Christianity and we've got Asian culture, right? Asian culture. And we can't separate those. Like, we're not going to become not Asian. I don't want us to become not Asian. You know, we'll always be Asian. What happens is, though, is like we have Christianity and we have the Asian culture. And because we're Christians and Asian, those mix together. Our backgrounds mix. And the thing is, with the Asian culture, there's something in our background that says that you're not accepted unless you perform at a certain level. Like, okay, I've talked with both parents and with you guys. And here's what I hear from some of you guys. Sometimes you feel as though my parents are Christian, and they'll talk about Christ. You know, they'll talk about the love of God and you know, Jesus Christ on the cross. But also there's this other life that we have that's talking about, you know, academics, right? That's talking about, hey, Ben, what did you get on your last score, right? What is, you know, or, hey, Ryan, are you preparing for SATs, ACTs, right? What is your score? You know, are you studying enough, you know? And from the flip side, I hear from parents, they're like, no, our kids are getting the wrong message. It's not that we're like saying, I don't love you unless you get this specific score, unless you get this specific grade. I just have, the reason why I set these expectations is because I love you. I want you to have security. I want you to be productive citizens. I want you to be, you know, I want you to have the life that I've worked so hard, right? But sometimes we get this message of, kind of this mixed message of, there's the cross. My parents are Christians. There's the cross. But something added to that, you're not quite accepted unless you attain this kind of level, right? And not only among parents, but among each other. So it's kind of like our background sometimes is, yeah, you're accepted by grace, by the cross, you're accepted. But sometimes there's something else that's needed in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, in order to be, feel that kind of acceptance. And Paul's like saying, look, your acceptance was based, your acceptance, your feeling brought into the kingdom was only because of what Christ did on the cross. what Christ did on the cross alone. And that's what makes you free. That's what gives you freedom. You have freedom from all this other stuff. You have freedom from all this other stuff. You guys, here's what freedom looks like, okay? We in OCCYG, like, I know that Sarah's started a dance. You started the dance ministry, right? Dance ministry. We also have, there's a drama ministry that we've had in the past. And what freedom is that, like, when I think of the dance ministry, like, when you guys are up there, when you choose to do a dance or when you do a drama, like, none of that is compelled. None of that is required for you guys. It is like, it's done more out of joy, out of, I want, what has happened on the cross is so amazing that I just want to point people to Him. I don't feel like I have to do some extra things. It's because, oh man, I want us to show how dance can reveal God. And I want to share it with the people in youth group, and I want to share it with anyone else who comes. It's not because you must, but because you choose to. Or with the drama ministry. You know, in the past few years, there's been a few dramas and stuff like that, a few skits. And it's not because, you guys aren't doing that, hopefully, because you feel like you've got to. Or you must, but because like you want to. Or we're doing in a couple of weeks we're doing youth to youth. You know, we're doing youth to youth, and hopefully it's like you're not adding on to anything. You're not doing that so that you can be accepted. You already are accepted by grace. You're doing it because you want to. Flip back with me, you guys. If you'd flip back with me to Matthew, if you flip back a few books in your Bibles to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. I'll read 28 through 30. It says this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's like, there is following Christ doesn't have a heavy burden attached with it. There's not extra things that you must do in order to know Him, to be a follower of Him. Jesus says, my burden is light. All right, let's look at the last portion of our passage, verses 6 through 9 says this. "As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who is at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews." So what Paul is saying here is, like, he went to the big wigs and he's saying, look, even if those guys would have said that this is not the gospel, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how important they are. The message that I'm giving you is the true gospel. But at the same time, Peter and John, and James agree that this is what the gospel is. It is saved by grace alone, saved by faith alone. And the last verse in verse 10, it says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And so the council said, look, all you have to remember is that Christ is sufficient. Christ on the cross is sufficient enough. There is nothing else that needs to be added to that. In fact, if you add anything to it, you're taking away from what happened on the cross. All that we really are is required of us is faith in Him, and that we are in bondage to, that we love God and love other people. That's basically what it boils down to. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we'll respond in a song. Father God, Lord, we thank you that that you sent your Son, that your Son on the cross was completely sufficient to pay for our sins. That we're accepted not because we don't have to strive anymore or perform anymore. Even after after following you, there's nothing that we must do. It is only that your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And because your Spirit lives inside of us, we'll want to do the things that you prescribe, that you desire. We'll want to follow after you. Father, pray that as we go out into our week, that we live in grace and by grace, that because we've been given freedom, because we've been freed from following the law, that really we have free to love you, we have freedom to love others, we have freedom in you. So Father God, I pray that you would work this freedom into our hearts, so that we would live without bondage, without this burden that we sometimes place on ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.